Welcome to Pax Europiana, this time about the section 39/6. It's about markets and SMEs and how to make markets work, and about microeconomics in a sense, yeah, and about economic development in the practical work, what to do to make really countries richer. It's very much about jobs, growth, prosperity via SMEs, small and medium enterprises, and to make markets work. Because as it is, most of the world was in the last half century socialist and communist in Africa, Asia, in Eastern Europe, in Latin America. Most of the world, of the 5 billion people, and there were 4 billion people living in socialist controlled non-market economies until 30 years ago. In many parts, it is only 20 years ago. And obviously there, in some areas, there was a long break in market development and in market-based systems. And obviously to recover, to restart market. And in some areas, maybe markets were only existing very rudimentary even before the communist times. And so it takes some time and it takes an effort. And it is important to do it. Often it's a bit overlooked because the international development effort is really often focused on one hand infrastructure and on the other hand, obviously, to build state the state sector, which is obviously very important, no doubt about. It's necessary to have good governance. It's also necessary to have infrastructure. But private sector development, that's the technical term. I prefer to talk about SMEs, about the subjects in a way, the companies, the entrepreneurs, yeah, the small and medium enterprises. But the technical term in international development economics is called private sector development. It's a bit of a stepchild of international development. There is not so much focus on it because it seems to be complicated engaging with companies. But it's extremely important. That is how countries develop, how they get rich. Somebody has to drive on the motorways. Somebody needs to use this infrastructure. It's the private sector that really makes the difference. And so in this section, I want to talk about how that really works. What are the various concepts? What is important to do in private sector development? Where should be more focus? And basically, I want to also talk, how can I say it, positively about markets. Because unfortunately in our especially Western European ideas and also in the recent backslash we see there's a bad image about markets. But imagine, markets is the very fundament of any civilization since ancient times. Imagine markets at the Forum Romanum in Rome. Oh, everybody bringing his products, shouting, and the political market happening next to the sector market, the farm market. Or imagine a beautiful farming market somewhere in one of these beautiful ancient towns of medieval character in Europe. Beautiful. You go there on the Saturday, on the Sunday, you get some beautiful Italian goods, beautiful olives, prosciutto, and some cheese and self-baked bread, and you are happy. And this is basically how markets developed. In other parts of the world, they are called bazaar. And this, I'm sure you maybe you have ever visited a bazaar somewhere in Istanbul, beautiful places, and you see all the products there. You walk by and people shout you offers and quote you prices. Want to make a bazaar with you, a business, basically. This is how markets have developed. Farmers having the right to bring and their products to the city people and then to negotiate about the prices, having market regulation, being allowed for the fixed position, having the duty and also the obligation then to pay taxes, customs. And this is how Western civilization has developed and also Chinese civilization, all civilizations. There were city urban development at certain strategic points, let's say rivers or mostly along rivers that were the highways of transport before cars and railways came. It was always about rivers or in coastal location. people brought their goods because there was marketplaces. That was the Maidan, it's called in Arabic, Bazaar in Turkish, the market, the druk in some other Eastern European languages, the Machtplatz in German. And this is the place where customers, consumers, where demand and supply meets and the market price develops and taxation is happening. And market inspections is happening as well in order to have nobody fooling each other. And that also from the early times, there was some regulation already, some inspections, some taxation, some quality controls. This is an eternal struggle for the quality, for the fairness, for contracts to be also really fulfilled, and also for civilization. So there is no civilization possible without markets. Markets and civilization go hand in hand. But obviously in some countries, there is the phenomenon of overregulation, of very strict kind of tradition of heavy-handed intervention or blockade. You see that often in the so-called ex-Soviet countries. If you have ever been, the typical situation there is you go to the metro station and you see then the poor marketenders, people, babushkas as they're called, they're selling their goods next to the entries of the metro station. Because there is basically no kind of working market system. Because the access to real estate, the access to licensed marketplaces is often very restricted. Gradually then it develops in a kiosk culture. And then only later there is also that kind of changing urban situation to have these shop retail outlets in the ground floors when the prosperity level comes to a next level. And then you come to this American or Western European model of retail marketplaces. But always also to see, we at least in Austria, but in many places, you do have this farm market still and the classical farmers coming on the weekend into the city and offering goods and services, often combined with some kind of festival, going to the church. I think it's a beautiful tradition. And this is how markets they have developed traditionally. People working during the week, bringing their goods on the weekend to the urban places, to the marketplaces, and then moving upwards the ladder of prosperity by time. And this very basic thing is to be taken also in consideration in development economics. Very important. Create market opportunities. Bring consumers and producers together. Now it's called sophisticated multi-stakeholder dialogue of the retail sector with the producer sector, or it's called making markets work for the poor. There's many concepts, and they all come to the same analysis. You have to see where the circle of supply and demand, where the producers do not so easily meet with the consumers. And that's to bridge that, to make that what always worked, but what was interrupted, obviously, by socialism and communism in many countries, or by heavy-handed authoritarian regimes, or also by colonial authorities in the past. Yeah? And then all this circle of civilization called market economy was interrupted, and now it's time to restart and to make the right mix of regulated market access for consumer protection, but to create the space and to create a space with as limited police supervision, market inspectors in supervision, because and tax inspections, because they all want basically to control these markets and to squeeze extra profits out of these consumers and also the producers, the ones who sell the goods. So that's some challenge, obviously, and there are many methods to do that. I already mentioned a multi-stakeholder approach to bring everybody on the table and discuss with their representatives, basically. But the other thing is obviously a trade fair. I never understood why often the international community doesn't really then attend trade fairs. Like that would be a bit of a messy and boring activity. I never understood that. And that is so important for the sectors like agriculture, agricultural machinery, and all this tourism, there must be trade fairs. And then instead of funding trade fairs back in that countries, and often that doesn't receive a lot of attention, and then they are brought to the trade fairs back in Munich, Berlin, or in American cities, or in other cities in Europe. But, you know, that's often very advanced. You need to create this kind of trade fairs back in the development in the transition economies. And that's really so important in economic development. And there's also all these products about industry clusters, value chains, yeah, this kind of nucleus approach, yeah, the whole support for the business service providers to ensure there is efficient engineering capacity, consulting, business consulting, financial consulting, accountants, lawyers, notaries. That's also really very important to have experts in the specific trade, to have them also certified, to have quality standards in the business service provision, and also to make sure that the small and medium entrepreneurs, the ones who really take the business risk, also have access and understand why it's needed to have an expert certification, a quality infrastructure expert, why it's important all this and where to get them. And this kind of support is really very important. Efficient databases of all these certified consultants for all the specific needs, quality infrastructure, certified financial accountants, and so on and so on. That's really important. And also, it's important to have these processes, these international benchmarking processes, like, for example, doing business. That's the World Bank process. It's really very important, mainly to make pressure on the government authorities to perform better. That's, of course, a benchmark everybody knows, and that has some effect to help the transformation economies in the SME sector and in the corporate sector and also their donor supporters and to pressure the government into a more reform consensus when they fall back. And then, obviously, there's some fire and action and some need to do that. It's my favorite program in making markets work and supporting SMEs is this business-friendly certification program, which was such a hit in Southeastern Europe, where really every municipality on the local level assesses its land access policy, its digital construction permit, its a system of licensing, local taxation, inspections for fire and for other and work inspectorate, all these powers they have in the municipality, they can be quite a burden for new investors. And once you go there, digitalize it, make it understand it, you additionally reform it in the process of digitalization and certification. You also make clear to the mayor that this is something which is not so perfect and quite complicated in his municipality. He might not even have bothered because he never cared for fire inspections or for other issues because he came to power, whatever, as the scion of a big family. And then he learns about this in such processes. That's why they are so important. And what is also extremely important, and it's often overlooked, is to create competition as well between regional authorities. That means all municipalities must be ranked and there must be competition. Who is really the best municipality? Where is the best land to invest? And this is also important to create internal institutional competition. That's why federalism is also so important. That there is different regions, like I mentioned Tirol, Bavaria, competing with other regions like Saxonia, also on an objective level that there is really some progress and that is really very important for SMEs. Because when you get them to compete, the governors, then you also can work better and have better results for the SMEs. Another important issue is obviously to make, the concept is called making markets work for the poor. And that means that you also go in the very smaller markets like handicrafts, some cultural specific, maybe for the tourism sector or other handicraft activities and find out where they could find potential buyers. For example, next to cultural heritage sites, make sure that there is the products of the local handicraft community closely connected and they have good souvenir shops and there is also some branding attached to it. that they really, they also this kind of markets that they are taken with care, with attention for the market. Always also in the support measures to think how can such a producer of unique handicraft skills, how can he find consumers? Where is the market for him? Is it on the local physical market? Is it via the internet? How can he promote this and where he can find or she can find this access? That's very important to analyze it also for the agricultural sector and to make sure that there is real demand always in the direction, not only to support skill developments, education, obviously, also the entrepreneurship, also funding, obviously, for such ventures. It's all very important, but always with the intention and with the target to consider to make these broken market links working and go find where the issues are, where is the disconnect, where are the market chains broken, where is the value chain broken, where is a lack of competences in specific skills in the service provision, and then to cross this. And always to see as well, is there too much public interference in such markets? Is the market intervention in regulation too heavy? Is the time the slot where public places? And often that's one of the big issues, that public space, for example, the main square in a city or the regional square, that there is a conflicting interest. Don't want to give too much time on the public square. It's often a question also about cleaning of the public square after the market time or about supervision from the police. They might get predatory and ask a lot of bakshish from the market tenders and so on and so on. There are many issues which can go wrong and they have to be addressed, obviously. And markets have to be respected. They are the fundament of our civilization and they are very important. Obviously, in international development, there's a huge, the interest in big things, motorways, railways, but it's the small things that matter very much for a sustainable economic development and also for local development, for local, also for tourism, but also for a livelihood on the spot and not everybody having then to immigrate to Western Europe where all these things are already working. Nobody discuss about it because anyhow they work since centuries. Our markets do work. And nobody questions them and everybody enjoys going on the Sunday market and buying beautiful products and enjoying them. It's not only the small markets, the small farmer markets, but they are the best example to imagine. The same is true for the construction industry sector and for the farming sector, for the IT sector. You need to create places where the people can meet. Obviously, it's a bit of a different format in the IT sector. It's a different format in the construction sector. It's all specific for them. It might be a tourism fair, a tourism association, for example, where then the people can meet, where there are workshops, where the hotels meet with the travel agencies, where the activities providers, for example, meet also with the travel agencies and all of them together have a day together and then really there can be interaction, new contracts can be signed and this really is the way to do it. There is also the whole issue about SME startup infrastructure. That's also very important. The whole infrastructure around innovation, that means the research people, the university, but also the innovators and the inventors together to also have startup funding and have also business advice available. And then such an infrastructure system where venture capital knows where the good people come with good ideas, they can present themselves. There must be also events and this kind of marketplaces. It's called congresses, maybe. Startup events or startup culture. There's a whole feature out there of specific events, but they also must come to the countries at the early stage of development. Not to say, that's too early for you. No. You have to do it like we decide. No. You have to create all these opportunities at the beginning and also train entrepreneurs how really the business risk has to be managed. What's a business plan? What's obviously also the risk to take? And what how to develop a business idea, a service, a product into a next level of real economic success? How to be sustainable? If it's maybe a startup, 5 years successful, then break down because the entrepreneur never learned about, was never trained. And there's also a huge a skills gap because in these new countries, obviously, you lack these mentors, these business angels, the uncles, if you want to call them. There are many words for that. Yeah. But this kind of mentors and people around who you might ask for a quick call, what's exactly the situation in that offer? Should I take that risk? Should I take such a big contract? Is that good for me? Can you help me? And this kind of things. And that's really often missing. And then a lot of failures are produced. And that's to be avoided, obviously. Yes, I call it a bit the Austrian market model. There's always, you know, this kind of the danger to go too far towards the collusive model. But it's very important to have a cooperation model. It's important to have a cooperation model between the producers and the consumer associations, the retail sector. Always to make sure there is competition, but also the business side must be organized in associations, like it was in medieval times from the guild onwards. It's very important. There is sector associations, there is business associations, there is also consumer associations and retail organizations to talk to bring them together, to know what they want, to know what it is expected, to also then measure the business risk. Because when you know what the retail sector, for example, is so important for most of the goods, that the demands of the retail sectors are clear. And this can only happen once this is organized. If the state itself is not far enough, not ready enough to do that, and then the donor organizations have to support these retail associations to meet also with the producer associations in such stakeholder dialogues. It doesn't happen by itself. And when it happens in the shadow somewhere out there, it is often connected with kickbacks and corruption, which is avoidable when you do it in a decent, organized public-private dialogue, in a multi-stakeholder format, and in these processes. They are so important. Then also about sectors and segments. That's always in all SME strategies, private sector, so important. It's a key to focus on the key segments, let's say women entrepreneurship, youth entrepreneurship, entrepreneurship in minorities, entrepreneurship in certain migrant groups, and that's also key. This migrant group is new in a country, needs to be supported, needs to be also clustered in a sense that they have support networks between themselves so that they are successful. Also sectors, it should not only be the tourism, IT, manufacturing, agriculture and food processing. That's the four which always are everywhere in the world. And they are really important. You can always develop a country with a tourism sector, with the manufacturing sector, with the IT sector, and also with the agro-food processing. They are ultimately the most important, but don't neglect the construction sector and the construction sector for industry. Also, the construction material sector is so important, and often the donor community doesn't want to engage in that one. So that's also very important. The infrastructure is important. That means what kind of institutional setup. I was in many debates about how many agencies for economic development does a country need. And most obviously the Minister of Finance wins, and then you have just one agency for the whole country. Arguments being, it's anyhow a small country, it's anyhow not so important, we have so many agencies already, and so on and so on. But that's all utter nonsense. For fast prosperity, you need the right institutional setup from the beginning. And that's obviously one SME agency, like the KfW was in the beginning, or the Austrian AWS, and the SBA in the United States. An SME agency needs every government. independent governmental agencies, as far a government agency can be independent, but they should do then the funding schemes, and they also the business advisory support, the service sector support, and all the programs. That's very important. A different agency should be for foreign direct investment, because it's very different work. There must be a separate agency to talk to the international investors, to go to roadshows, and this should be separated, absolutely. And then it's important that every region has a regional development agency. Absolutely, from the start, right on. Every region in a transition economy needs a regional development agency connected to the governor or the regional authority, but also in cooperation with the national SME agency, and that regional development agency to have also some land access regional development planning aspect, but very much innovation, startup cultures, business parks, they must be managed by exactly that agency. And that's really very important. And also the local startup culture must be supported via that agency. And then obviously this kind of national SME agency, but also to see if it can develop in a development bank over time. And that's, of course, you know, the big thing for the future. It can be also then the development bank can be attached to the SME agency. That is in various aspects. In Austria, we do it in one, the SME bank and the SME agency is the same, AWS, AWS.at. And in Germany, they have a different system. But basically, also, it has started like that. The KfW now is a global company, but it has started as the German SME agency, which was also charged with the funding of the European Recovery Fund. And thanks to America for that support. And that's very important. Then it's also, I think, I said most of the things about business service providers, markets work for the poor, producer, retail dialogue. Yes, I think that is the main thing I would like to say in this introduction about private sector development. And then also to have a good strategy on the national level and everybody working on a competitive basis, but also on a basis where there's clear responsibilities institutionally. And then, and that's the mastery, obviously, to have quarterly dialogue sessions, a so-called public-private dialogue on the national level, but can be also on the regional level, where the main decision makers, and they meet regularly between the various groups. What I want to say with that, that is basically the Minister for Economy chairing this session, and then sitting several representatives of the government and various agencies on the top table, and then on both sides, on the one side must be, and that's very important, all the business associations, the key business actor from the Chamber of Commerce, the Federation of Employers, and also some sector organizations, and also then various stakeholders from the taxation agency, from the central bank, from the customs agency, and also then a representative from consumer situation, from the trade unions, absolutely invite them, but manage the dialogue regularly, and not just as a kind of complaint session against the banking industry for high interest rates, or for the employers to complain about the employees or the employees complaining about the employers. No, it must be a social dialogue in the style as well, well managed, and also with some follow-up. Because if that is a very good public-private dialogue, whole countries can gradually lift its upper relatively fast. Yeah? When the authorities are listening to the concrete demands, what is wrong on the markets, in the ground, in the companies, yeah? Where they meet the authorities, where the market inspectors are too harsh, where is corruption taken in some kind of licenses, where the tax authorities have raided, where the company register is not working very well, where the customs is problematic, where some kind of tender in the public procurement was. And when there is a listening culture and also an active remedy culture in a quarterly reliable dialogue between the two, all the actors, and then suddenly they understand in the tax authority that they were a bit too harsh. In the land cadastre, they understand that the banks also have some rights and to work together to lift markets after markets. the financial market, the land market, the SME market, the pharma market, to lift all these markets gradually up to a better level of regulatory environment and to foster them, not in a collusive kind of I settle your issue if you pay, but on a kind of open, transparent, public-private dialogue, also with television inside, most of it, not all maybe, but television, that this is publicized, clear, the government cares, with an annual report of the SME agency, which should manage such a public-private dialogue, and then to develop it decently, and then to develop it in an upwards spiral of always reinforcing the good and the positive, and reducing the bad and the negative. And then normally countries work very, very fast when the external stability is, of course, there and the political will. That's all, and also the macroeconomic things I've mentioned many times, the tax rates, the currency, and all these issues. But this kind of a public-private dialogue focused on the specific markets, the concrete concerns, the many 100,000 things where maybe some law was overshooting, some regulatory agency made too much, maybe the access to land is very complicated, maybe licenses have been so problematic, and there's always issues. Yeah? And then this forum also to be used to present this business-friendly certification process, also the regional benchmarking and the regional competitiveness studies, and something like SME access to finance studies, and also then specific market studies, what is the future about the tourism sector, the metal manufacturing, the food processing, and also invite the retail sector. Often the retail sector in developing countries is also dominated by international chains. They have international managers, get them inside, make sure they listen. Make sure they also buy locally. That's also important, yeah? That there is this local value chain, that they know the local producers. They don't have to supply everything from outside. No, they should know that certain standards have to be fulfilled. And then also see, for example, very often, one of the big problems is the export capacities because of the international and European quality requirements. And so there must be also this technical infrastructure of quality management attached. I mentioned it already, I think. And then that's quite expensive. Here, obviously, the EU can do a lot. Fund this infrastructure, make sure it's there. Fund also then that it's trusted and certified. And suddenly the access to the shelves of the international supermarket chains is much easier for the local products. And with that, also the export towards the European consumers. That's, of course, very important. And so the market works then. It's not only the market in your marketplace, not only the bazaar in Istanbul. But imagine the whole, when you hear about how to make markets work for the poor, how to make markets work, private sector development. Think about yourself being a consumer going to a market and getting wonderful products from an Italian farmer, bringing it to Brussels at the Place Chasseur d'Antony, for example, or here very close. Yeah? And this market culture, unfortunately, is getting a bit lost often. And that's very sad. We have to create the market spaces, give market space, give them respect and honor the markets. They are a civilizational achievement. Without them, there would be no civilization. There would be no technology improvement. Yeah? There would be no humankind in a sense without this trade and without this interaction. This is the basis of our society, and that's really very good. And we have often, you know, we make it very complicated to exchange goods, and that's often a major problem, and especially in transition countries, it has to be fostered, and there should be a good focus from the international donor community and from the national authorities in all the countries, because they are mostly in charge to make sure that it's not too complicated to make a market here. And it's not only disturbing, no, and then it's a bit costly to clean it. Yes, there must be also costs attached. There must be also taxes attached. There must be also regulations for consumer protection attached. Yes, yes, yes. But it's always with the mind to make markets work for the poor, for the SMEs, for everybody. Because the rich in any country are anyhow rich. No, it's an illusion. All this market economy is for the middle class. It's for the poor people. Because the rich in any society, the few families at the top which control the leverages of the military and the political process and the media, they are rich anyhow, and they are super rich in any system. So the real topic is not to make a few people richer, and that every crony capitalist system delivers. Yeah? The big question is how to make really many people normally affluent and secure that they have good income and also their families can live decently. And that's only the market economy can provide. So if the market economy is somehow cornered in cartels, somehow with this kind of elbow systems, with mafia-style controls from the public authority to cut other people out and get only my guy in, then obviously just a few have a good life and the rest is just watching them, like it is to some extent in Ukraine, in other countries. I've talked about it, especially worse in Russia. But then most of the population can just stay idle at home and watch what's going on or do some minor jobs while the rest is getting rich and they see them in television. And this is not the society I want, at least. It's not the society I call market democracy. The market democracy is the open society. It's the society of opportunities where public assets are and land and also space on market squares is given on a transparent basis, where there's as little coercion as possible, as little taxation as possible, as little regulatory supervision as it's necessary to protect the consumers, yes, but always, you know, to think about the markets, yeah, because the markets, these are we, that's you and me, that's the consumer, that's the citizen, that's everybody out there. And when the markets work, then everybody has a chance to compete, yeah. Then everybody has a chance to produce and to convince others of his offers and services or in products. And then the whole society works. And then we are getting prosperous. And then the whole society gets prosperous. And then suddenly development works. Yeah, and that's the miracle of the market. It's not the magic hand, yeah? But it's people producing something and having services and ideas and going and to meet other people. That's what I always say. Openness is the key to prosperity. You go to places where you know you meet the demand, and demand is our consumers. You respect them, you offer your things, and business is done. You sell your apples, you sell your ham, you sell your computer, you sell your IT industry. But the public authorities are often the worst obstacle in that process. And that's why I think about business-friendly certification and also about how to make the markets work should be in the mind of the authorities and the donors and the embassies every single day. That should be really in the way. And when you go through any city of the world, wherever you might be, you walk around and you see kiosks or poor people on the street next to metro stations, or you see high levels of informality in some kind of sheds and kiosks, but the ground floors of the houses are like blocked, and there is this kind of chaos model or this kind of very strict model of supervision. And then the mix is not correct. And it is like a visible symbol that the markets are popping up everywhere where they shouldn't be, because the society and the state and the system is rejecting this kind of market-based economy, either not regulating it at all and leading to chaos, or over-regulating it so much that it has to be somewhere in informality on the public squares without any kind of supervision, because that's the only way they can somehow reach the consumers. And both of it is wrong. There should be decently, seriously discussion in a society then how to fix that, how to get to a market democracy level by reducing the control of the society and the political class via the police, the cadastre, the tax police, the control on public space, on public opportunities, public procurement and also the whole urban situation. And then just look around and then assess it yourself with open eyes. And what you see is really then like the alarm signal. And then compare it with your home city, say why the markets are not working here, and then go back to the parliament and tell them on my podcast. Anyhow, too much, maybe your markets. Think about the bazaar, think about SMEs, think about the markets, and make the private sector work, support it via all these many methods, more to come in the future. But this is very dear to my heart. It's the open space for SMEs which is needed, and then to find the right mix, the right regulatory mix, to let the people breathe, to let the producers meet the consumers and make the markets match each other. And that's, I think, the fundament of our civilization. And that must work. And that's the way for prosperity and for jobs and for the recovery in the 2020s. Good. Thanks a lot for listening. Bye.